Happy anniversary?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's the morning open, a look at the economy as trading gets started for the day and for the week. Let's ask, where's Wall Street? Markets are down right now. The S&P down about 0.4%. The Dow down about 0.5% right now at 95.59. Shares in Tokyo and Hong Kong fell today. The Chinese benchmark was up, and European shares are lower right now by about 1% or less. President Obama is getting set to deliver a speech on Wall Street in just a few hours, and the president's set to spell out what the government's done about the financial crisis and what it still needs to do. And it comes on the one-year anniversary of the collapse of investment bank Lehman Brothers. Marketplace's Amy Scott joins us live from our bureau in New York. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Steve.
And Sam Stovall is chief investment strategist at S&P Equity Research. He's also joining us live from New York. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Steve.
Thanks both of you for being with us. Amy, let's start with you. How different is Wall Street now than it was a year ago?
Well, overall, it's a smaller and maybe more humble industry, and one that's still being substantially propped up by the federal government. Banks have had to reduce their leverage, so they're not operating on as much borrowed money. Bonuses fell more than 40% last year, although they're expected to recover somewhat this year. But, you know, Goldman Sachs had its most profitable quarter ever in the second quarter. The appetite for risk is starting to return. So overall, Wall Street probably hasn't changed as much as people were predicting a year ago. And that's evident in the rebound of financial stocks from their lows this winter.
Yeah, financial stocks may be recovering. But Sam Stovall, I imagine you still have plenty of reminders this morning about how far the meltdown took markets a year ago. And put that into a little perspective for us.
Well, sure, Steve. About September of 2008, we were already 1 year into a bear market, but the worst was yet to come as the S&P fell another 46% in only 6 months, dragging all sectors lower. And even today, after rebounding more than 50%, all sectors are still in negative territory.
Amy, the president is going to talk about regulation today. What's the status of that so far? I mean, can any real change still happen?
Well, not a whole lot in the way of progress yet. Congress has had a number of hearings, of course, but lawmakers are pretty distracted with health care reform right now. The Obama administration has proposed a number of significant changes, like creating a consumer financial protection agency and a regulator that watches out for risk in the overall system. It's also looked at ways to discourage financial institutions from becoming too big to fail. And some are still hopeful these will pass next year. But, you know, with the industry fighting hard against many of this stuff and perhaps some of the momentum waning as the economy improves, it's hard to say what all this is going to look like when it gets through the sausage mill.
All right. Marketplace's Amy Scott and Sam Stovall from S&P joining us both from New York. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you.
Welcome.
China wants dialogue with Washington over U.S. tariffs on Chinese tires. The country says the tariffs approved late Friday by President Obama violate World Trade Organization rules. They're calling it, quote, grave protectionism. Listening to the Morning Report for Monday, September 14th, 2009, at Marketplace.org. For the past year, the U.S. Treasury Department has guaranteed investments in money market mutual funds made before the financial crisis. Now, that guarantee goes away later this week. Marketplace's Steve Henn reports.
Investors hold $3.5 trillion in money market accounts. These funds invest in short-term corporate debt. They're supposed to be safe, and they offer higher returns than savings accounts. Or at least that was the story.
I still think money market funds are a disaster waiting to happen, just like they were a year ago.
Investment advisor Drew Tignanelli says even stable companies can fall apart quickly in default. When that happens, investors run for the exits.
Once they get wind of the fact that they can lose money, you create a situation for a mania or a panic, and no one can survive a run.
Last year, investors pulled more than $40 billion out of a single fund in just 3 days. The run stopped when the Fed's guaranteed accounts. Industry groups say money markets are safer today, investing in short-term debt and keeping more cash on hand. But Tignanelli believes all it would take to create another panic is another big company flaming out unexpectedly. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Tonight, Jay Leno returns to the small screen in a new role as NBC's primetime savior. He'll be on five nights a week in the key 10 p.m. Eastern time slot. And a lot of media executives will be glued to their screens, Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
If the Jay Leno show takes off, other networks could fill that same primetime slot with charismatic entertainers. Ben Grossman is editor-in-chief of Broadcasting and Cable. He says with TV audiences dwindling, it makes sense for NBC to veer away from expensive dramas. The network will save about $13 million a week this way. But he says Leno will be doing something different this time of night.
On The Tonight Show, remember, basically it was do a lot of great stuff off at the top because you know people are going to fall asleep literally as it goes on because the show doesn't start till 11:30, right? Now he's got to deliver an audience to the 11 o'clock news.
Grossman says Leno has to keep people engaged right up to that 11 o'clock news slot with banter instead of music. That's because the news is a big moneymaker. Does NBC have a backup plan in case the show flops? The network isn't saying, but NBC does say it's committed to Jay Leno for at least a year. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
The healthcare debate continues this week. Much of the effort centers around the growing cost of healthcare and some big disparities in who pays how much. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan is with us now to talk about the current price structure. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Steve.
So why is the cost of healthcare increasing at this rate that's so much higher than inflation?
Because the population is shifting to more and more old people, almost all of whom have Medicare. So they all get treatment.
You know, I think about this. When we talk about billions and trillions of dollars for health care, it really boils down to how much you and I pay, right? Or how much the insurance company pays on our behalf. But some people don't have insurance.
That's right. And the people who don't have insurance, heaven help them. Because the difference between the retail rate and the wholesale rate, which is what insurance companies pay and those of us who have insurance effectively pay, a huge, huge difference. God help you if you have to pay retail.
And how do the insurance companies put these deals together with the hospitals and the medical companies?
Well, I could give you an example involving me. I, last year, had a cardiac stent put in at one of the largest hospitals in New Jersey. My bill comes in. It's $37,190. And my insurance company is one of the biggest insurance companies in the United States, and they had long since bargained a rate with the hospital. Between us, the insurance company and I got an 80% discount, and if I had just walked in without insurance, I'm sure the hospital would have pursued me to the ends of the earth for $37,190.
So, Alan, is all of this fixable?
Well, it's fixable for people who are trying to buy individual policies. They need really to be part of a group to bargain a rate with a hospital. This is the system we have, and it's definitely fixable, but someone has to decide to fix it instead of running around and shrieking, which has been the healthcare debate on both sides as far as I can see.
All right. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joining us. Alan, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
Finally, I remember when I was a kid, I'd stay up past my bedtime to hear these amazing words.
Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic man.
Some British scientists at the Institution of Engineers have discovered they'd get a lot more value today out of Steve Austin, otherwise known as the $6 million man. That's with all the technology available, such as bionic knees or a powered hand, even an exoskeleton. To build him today, it would cost about $250,000. In Los Angeles, where there's plenty of rebuilding going on, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media. Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.